so now we are moving on from Pesach. Not fully, it'll make an appearance. But in order to get into the next sugya, we need to see the third position from the Gemara of Pesach. So if you remember, very briefly, in the Mishnah, we had the position of Rabbi Yeshua that because you bring Karban Pesach in the afternoon of Yudalad, that is the only relevant time. After Chatzot is treated fully as a Pesach, if it's brought Lishma, it's kosher, if it's brought law Lishma, it's basal. And in the morning, it's treated as a Shlomim, and the Pesach Shlom is Mano, so if it's brought Lishma, it's basal, if it's brought law Lishma, then it's kosher as a Shlomim. Right? That is the binder, according to Rabbi Yeshua. According to Ben Betera, a Pesach in the morning of Yudalad, if you haven't figured that out yet, if it's Shechdin, Lo Lishma is Pasul. And we spent most of last week on Rav Oshia's position, which is that's because within Ben Betera. Rav Oshia within Ben Betera, right? Remember, it was a Machloket within Ben Betera, Rav Oshia and Rabbi Yochanan. So according to Rav Oshia within Ben Betera, that's because the morning is already Zmano, for all the reasons we talked about. And then there was Rabbi Yochanan's position, which is it's not Zmano in the sense that you don't bring it, but it's also not Zmano insofar as Lo Lishma, it's going to be messed up. The morning is unique. If you bring a Pesach Lishma, it's Pasul. If you bring a Lo Lishma, also Pasul. Everything is Pasul in the morning. And that's where we were up to, that's what we need for the next line. So, Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Posel Haya Ben Betira, B'Pesach Sheshechato Bar Basar Shachret. Bein Lishmo, Bein Shalo Lishmo, Hol Umiktzato Ra'ui. The reason is as follows. It is not Zmano. That's all. It's not Zmano. So if it's not Zmano, then why is it Pasul? So then I understand. If it's not Zmano, that's why it's Pasul if you bring it Lishmo. Because if you bring the Karban Pesach Lishmo, not at the right time. So it's Pasul. If you bring it Lo Lishmo, then it's fine as a Shlomim. But if you bring it Lishmo, you're trying to make it a Pesach, it's Pasul. But why is it Pasul even Lo Lishmo? Which would imply that it is Zmano, because only a Pesach Bizmano is Pasul Lishmo. So he says, because it's Miktsato Ra'ui. Because part of the day is Ra'ui to bring the Karban Pesach, and that already invalidates it from the morning. So the Gemara, and this is where we'd really left off, said, Megadev bar Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo. Again, the word usually means blasphemed, probably weaker here, but you know. Yes. He ridiculed him, he made fun of him, he. Right, so I don't think he used the name of God, but it probably is trying to imply something a little bit stronger than just ridicule, but sure, you know. Im kein Pesach kosher ben v'teira heichi mishkachava. So here he says, okay, if according to you, in the morning of Yudalid, the Pesach is completely pasul no matter what you do. No matter what you do. You bring it lishma, pasul. You bring it lo lishma, pasul. That's what Rabbi Yochanan just said. So he says, then, not only should it be possible, but the idea of a Karban Pesach should be definitionally impossible. Why? Id afreshe ha'idna. Because if you separate it, you designate it as a Karban in the morning, it's possible because at that time, it can't be brought as a Pesach, can't be brought as a Shalom, can't be brought as anything. No matter what you do to this Karban, from those 6 hours, from sun up to Chatzot, it's just nothing. What? The first half of the day, okay? Dachui meikaro. And this is the concept we're going to be focused on. It's dachui. What is dachui? It's pushed aside, meaning it is rejected. It is disqualified. And therefore, it should be a non-karba. Yes, pushed. Not pushed later. Pushed. Pushed. Dead. Puzzle. The Edevshinome Etmol. And if it was separated the previous day, Nir'e Vinidche Hu. So it is what's called Nir'e Vinidche. Is it at a period of time in which it was, what's Nir'e? Which means it was qualified. It was fit from the modern, like in modern Hebrew still, right? It's not like seen, but ra'ui. It's proper. A ra'aya is proof for the same reason, right? Same reason. So now we have two categories, okay? There's something called nir'eh v'nidcheh, something that at one point was valid, was fit, and then became disqualified. And then there's what's called dachui me'ikara, which is it was disqualified from the moment of inception, right? From the beginning. Okay? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the karban should be always invalid, because since there's this magic six-hour period where no matter what you do, the karban is not a karban. No matter what you would do, you couldn't validate it. Okay, no matter what you do, it is a pasul karban. So if you separate the karban Pesach on the 13th, so it's nirev v'nidche, on the 13th it was a valid shlamim, then it goes through a six-hour period where no matter what you do, it is invalid. So therefore, that invalidates it. If you separate it on the morning of the 14th, it was, from the moment of its inception, incapable of being a karban. That's called dichui me'ikara. That from its moment, from the beginning, it is invalid. So both of those should be invalid. So the Gemara says, why? Separate it in the afternoon, when you are allowed to bring the Pesach. What's the problem? So Abaye says, what's the problem? I think that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though it's true, then in the morning it is invalid, meaning if you actually try to bring it in the morning, it would be invalid. That nevertheless does not make the karban disqualified. You can't practically bring it, but it's not disqualified. So we're going to read like a whole amud of Gemara here. But what is this status that the Gemara seems to be? What is the Gemara talking about? This idea of nidche, of dachui, of dichui, whatever you want to call it, right? Depending on the conjugation. What is it? Right? What exactly is it? What is the Gemara even saying? Just shot. I don't want anything too conceptual. No, it's not a time. What is it? That's may be outcome. But what is it? What? Very good. It's a status that what? I want you to be very precise.
No. From the moment you make it a korban, it is not kosher.
No, neither of those are right. Meaning, they're not right, but that's not what the word dichoy is being used in the Gemara. What is it? Meaning, yes. Meaning what?
It doesn't have the status of a korban.
Come on. You're 98% there. Come on. Pushed away. Give me another word for it. Meaning? This dichoy is this idea that something happened or the korban went through something that does what to it? Invalidates it as a karban, makes it pasul. There is this psul called nidche, that it was pushed off, it was pushed away from being karban, and that invalidates it forever. Right? That's the key. Right? That this thing called nidche is that there's a status called something being pushed off, and therefore it is disqualified. Not currently can't be brought, but it is disqualified. Now, how do I know that that's what nidche means? Besides the fact that it's, right? Just in pshat, nothing fancy yet. How do I know that's what the word dichoy means? Because what did Abaye just say? That in the morning the karban can't be brought. According to Rabbi Yochanan. No, according to Rabbi Yochanan. It can't be brought in the morning as any karban, yes? We're clear on that? It can't be a Pesach, it can't be a Shalom, it can't be anything. And yet, he thinks that if you separate the karban then, it is not invalid because the fact that it is lacking in time, it can't be brought yet, since it can be brought later in the day, is irrelevant. It's still a kosher karban. But if you ask Abaye, can you bring it when you separate it? No. But what is the Gemara using the word dichoy to mean? That a karban was pushed off, disqualified for whatever reason, and henceforth can't be brought as a karban ever. Ever. And therefore he says that even though in the morning you can't bring the karban practically, separating the carbon in the time when you can't practically bring it, but if you are going to be able to bring it later in the day, doesn't create this invalidating status called dichui, called the carbon was pushed off, meaning fundamentally disqualified. So the category we're looking for here is this idea that a carbon can go through a process that will invalidate it from being a carbon
forever.
Right? Just pshat, yes? That's clear. Is that not clear in pshat? Right? Because Gemara is saying, no one, Abaye doesn't think that you can bring the carbon in the morning, according to Rabbi Yochanan. He just says, the fact that you'll be allowed to bring it later in the day means that the fact that I separated it in the morning isn't going to invalidate it for the afternoon. So we're no, because the Gemara has been saying until that, because this is Abaye's Chiddush, is that until now the Gemara has been saying, well, according to him, if you separate in a time and you can't bring it at all, then you won't be allowed to bring it in the afternoon at all. Which means the Gemara is clearly talking about what type of
right.
No, that, I'm just saying the term. I'm just saying the term. I'm not saying how we get there yet. I don't think that's true. He's just saying there is no dichui. Right? They all seem to agree with dichui. The question is how you get to dichui. Okay. Rav Papa Amar, afil tem meurta. You can eat separated at night. Because laila in mechusar zman. Because even though, are you allowed to bring carbon at night?
No.
No. But it's not mechusar zman. Again, just listen to the words. The Gemara is saying, can you bring it at night? No. But the fact that you can't bring it isn't going to create dichui necessarily. Because, what does the Gemara say? It's not called mechusar zman. Now, what does that mean?
Seemingly the issue is it going from being able to be brought to fundamentally not being able to.
Exactly. Meaning it's saying, look, you can't bring it at night. So you would say, well, I separated at night. Now it's not a good carbon. It's possible. He says, no. At night, you're right, you can't bring it. But ein mechusar zman. What do you mean ein mechusar zman? Is it mechusar zman or not mechusar zman? Can you bring it or you can't bring it? The Gemara clearly says, you can bring it. But we're not looking for that. What we're looking for is
an issue in the carbon itself.
Yes, that somehow a carbon going through a moment in time, an experience, we'll see, that invalidates it, doesn't just invalidate it in the sense that you can't bring it now. It makes it a carbon puzzle. Right? It makes it invalid. That's what we're looking for. That is what dichui is. And the Gemara is now suggesting that at night, even though you can't practically bring the carbon, it's not called mechusar zman. There isn't a active invalidating force called this is lacking time. Its time hasn't yet arrived. The Tani debate Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Shmuel says, that Leil Shmini, that even though a carbon can only be brought on the eighth day of its life, if you were to take a carbon, an animal, which was going to be Meiser Behema, and put it in the pen on the night preceding the eighth day, nichnas ladir lehit aser. It can, in fact, go into the pen to be counted the next day. No. Because then it would be mechusar zman, because the carbon is invalid before day eight. But even though you can't bring carbon at night, that's exactly the Gemara's point, is ein mechusar zman levavayo. That even though in practice you can't bring it, until the day, since the eighth day is a time when the carbon is kosher, at the night of the eighth day, it's already, even though you can't bring it, if you do designate it as a carbon, it's not invalidated, because ein mechusar zman levavayo. If you did it on the seventh, it would be invalid. Because the going through the experience of the seventh day as being a carbon, but being too young, would make it, would push it off. Right? This is pshat. Are we clear that so far, what is clear in pshat, total pshat, nothing conceptual yet. I mean, beyond the inherent conceptual nature of this Gemara. The pshat of the word dichui is an invalidating status that takes effect in a carbon such that it is invalidated forever. We're trying to figure out how that happens. Right, what could we do? I want to read the Gemara once, because so you just understand it, but if you want to just pause for a moment and say, okay, we so far have already seen two formulations of this. I'll take your question in a second, Judah. Right? One is, the Gemara's original statement, how we got into this, was, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if the carbon in the morning can't be brought at all, so if I separate it, then it is puzzle. Why? At that point, what are the Gemara assuming? That what? So, that you, and therefore what? Yeah. Therefore what? No! Come on! Sharper! The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you separate in the morning, you can't bring it in the afternoon. Why? Because if the Gemara at that point assumes that if a carbon exists at a moment in which in a moment in which it is definitionally impossible to bring, that creates a status in the carbon that invalidates it forever, even at the time when it can bring it. The Gemara then walks that back and says that's not clear. Right? The Gemara then opens the possibility with Abaye that it's possible to have a moment in which you can practically not bring a carbon, and nevertheless, it won't create an invalidating status in the carbon such that you will be allowed to bring it later. Which means the Gemara has gone through, offered two fundamental conceptions of dichui. The first one simply says, if you are at a moment at which the carbon can't be brought by definition, that creates an invalidating, any carbon. Right, so according to that, you would say then maybe very good. Then any carbon that you separated by the next day would be possible because it went through the period of knighthood, right? Where It went through the night. And at night, you can't bring carbon out. And then the Gemara backs off of this and says, no, it is theoretically possible to have a moment in time at which you practically can't bring a carbon, and nevertheless, that practical inability to bring the carbon does not define the carbon forever as a carbon that has been pushed away from carbonness. It simply says that, okay, you couldn't bring it during that time, you can bring it later. Right? So the Gemara backs off of it. So we already see two conceptions, right? We're going to have to define that. We're not doing it yet, but I want you at least to notice what the Gemara is doing. Yeah, Judah. Correct. It's a shlamet. It's a shlamet. It's a shlamet. You weren't in shir when we did this, but the answer is because of Pesach, what is a shlamet plus, okay. Right? That and therefore a Pesach brought not bismano, a Pesach brought a whole bunch of things becomes a shlamet.
So they also missed the shir on why
the reverse is an oweth, I guess. Yeah, we spent a week on this. More, two weeks. Yeah, no problem. You just came later, but yeah, we spent a lot of time on that, a painfully long amount of time on that sugya, honestly. Great sugya, great. Not painful, not at all. So the Gemara says, Uchidirabi aftoriki. This is one of those people in Shas that has not come up so often. Aftoriki. Yes. Rebbe Aftoriki.
I got Aftoriki, Atariki, Afriki, and Ram Simon.
Yes. I mean, he comes up elsewhere, but not so many times. He comes up how many times? A total of... Okay, he comes up one... Okay, he comes up on Chulin Pei Aleph in here, but the exact same sugya. Just, you know, mirror image. Like, there's the same sugya that appears in two places. And then he appears in Baba Metzia Hey, Menachot Nun Hey. That's it. So four times in Shas, and two of them are doubles. No, sorry. No, one more in Chulin. Sorry, four. Four times. Five times, two are doubles. Anyways, so Uchderebi Aftoriki, Derebi Aftoriki Ra Mikdiv, because he had a contradiction in the Pesukim. V'haya Shivat Yamim Tacharimo. A carbon, a bull, a sheep, a goat, whatever, will be with its mother for 7 days. Which implies, halayla chazi. which implies that the next night is already kosher. 7 days, then fine. Uchtev, but then it says, Umiyom Hashmini v'hala yiratzeh. But another pasuk says, from the eighth day on, it will be accepted. Well, eighth day. Right? So the first one says, the first 7 days, it's not good. And the other one says, on the eighth day, it is good. The ambiguity is, the night between the seventh and the eighth day. So if you say the 7 days, it has to be with his mother, that implies that by the eighth night, it's already a good karban. If you say from the eighth day, it's a good karban, that implies that the eighth night, meaning the night going from seven to eight, is still not. Ha, Ketzad, Gemara says, how is that possible? Laila likidusha, the night between seven and eight, it is karban enough such that you are allowed to make it holy. The yom lehartza, but you're only allowed to offer it in the day. Okay, so now the Gemara takes a step back and reflects on this whole sugya. And he says, wait, Amar le Rabbi Zeir le Rabbi Avo, Lema kasever Rabbi Yochanan ba'alei chayim nidchin? I don't understand. Are you telling me, what is the assumption of this entire sugya? The Rabbi Yochanan believes in an idea called nidchin, that animals can become invalid. Right, can be pushed off. There are different conjugations of the same word. Correct, but the Gemara is now going to challenge that this is true. The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, what you're telling me is that Rabbi Yochanan holds of this thing. But maybe this whole thing, this idea that a karban can, because it had a moment in which it couldn't be brought, was given a status of invalidation, maybe that doesn't exist at all. This whole sugya has been nonsense. So Amar Lei, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan does hold of Nidche. He's like, yes, very good. You've picked up on the fact that the last half an Amud told us that Rabbi Yochanan believes in a status called Nidche. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds Behema Shel Shnei Shutafin, if you have, now you got a hold cup here, as they say in Yiddish, hold cup, yeah? Pay attention. Behema shel shnei shutfin, if you have an animal which is owned by two partners, okay, so Judah and Zevi, co-own a carbon. What type of animal you want? Sheep? Cow. Oh, ambitious there. Okay, a cow. Hikdish chetzia. So one of you sanctified your entire share, i.e., half the cow.
Like the money for it? Or like
no, half the cow.
But how do we
who wants to be... Okay, I'm going to let Zevi do it because you don't like the idea of doing this.
No.
You want to do it?
Which of you
wants to sanctify it?
I'll sanctify it.
Okay, fine. So Judah has sanctified his half of the animal. He's had a religious epiphany. Yeah. And Zevi, you know, was so excited about owning a cow, he still wants it as meat for steak. Yeah. What do you like, steak?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Steak. Okay. And whatever can't be meant to steak, hot dogs, because hot dogs is whatever's left of garbage of anything. What? Fine. After the steak and the ribs, then whatever's left. Okay, great. So... V'chazar v'loka chetza v'higdisha. So then Judah says, listen, Zevi, I know you really want that, but come on. My spiritual epiphany has led me not just to want to sanctify half of this carbon, of this cow. I would like to make it all. So let me buy off your half. You can go buy another half cow somewhere. So Zevi says... Fine. It turns out that Zevi became more health conscious. Between then, he's like, you know, cow is like red meat. You know, really, I need that money anyways to go buy
vegetables.
Or not red meat. I don't know. Grass-fed red meat. Very good. Okay. Very good. Still red meat, but grass-fed red meat. Yalla. Okay. So, and then Judah sanctifies the second half of the animal. Now, we call this in mathematics, usually we call this 1/2 plus 1/2 is 1, i.e. the whole thing. Gemara says, no, kedosha, it is holy, ve'ena kreva, but it cannot be offered. Why can't it be offered? Because it's nidcha, very good. Because when it was half sanctified, can you bring an animal that is half sanctified? No, and therefore there was a moment in time where it was kadosh, meaning ro'i to be a karban, but also not ro'i to be a karban at the same time, because it was ro'i to be a karban because it was kadosh, and not ro'i to be a karban because you can't bring half an animal as a karban. This doesn't work. That's cool. So it was nidche. So therefore, it can't be brought as a karban. So what do you have to do? Oset tomorrow, but it is kodesh. And therefore, if you would try to change it for another karban, that karban would become timura. But utmurata, the karban that you would do timura on, would, guess what? Kayotzeba, be like it, meaning kodesh, but not sacrificable. That's not a word. Not sacrificeable. What is the word?
Sacrificial.
No, but is there a word for able to be sacrificed? Sacrifice. What? Is it sacrificable?
Why would he want to do tzmura?
He shouldn't do tzmura. No one said he should. I'm just telling what happens. You're never allowed to do tzmura. So why is he doing tzmura? Because he's doing something wrong. I know, Evan. I hate to do this to you. I have to break news to you. I have news. This is going to be hard. But there are people in this world, not anyone at this table, Rahman al-Islam, who sometimes, not all the time, not even commonly, but once in a while, lo aleinu, do something they shouldn't do. It has happened. It has happened. So the Gemara says, Ushma mina tlat. From this halacha, we learn three things. Shma mina ba'alechaim nidchen. You learn that he thinks that animals can be disqualified by having gone through this process of being holy, being defined as kosher, and then not. Ushma mina, and now the Gemara says second, dachui me'ikara hafei dachui. So there are two types of dichui that we're going to have to talk about, as the Gemara already said. One is called dachui me'ikara, which is from the very moment that it plausibly could have been used for said ritual act, it was at that moment already invalid for said ritual act. And that is called not just not yet ro'i, that is called dichui, that it is invalidated forever. That is contrasted with nir'e v'nidche, which is it was kosher, then it became non-kosher, and that creates an invalidation, okay, forever. Now, if I asked you, which is more likely to create the status of dichui, dichui me'ikara or nir'e v'nidche? Judah says nir'e v'nidche. Why? Meaning what?
Meaning that there was a time that's kosher, then time that's not kosher, not just that it's not kosher in the first place.
Right, meaning, if I get what you're saying, Judah says, listen, nir'e v'nidche is less of a chiddush than dichui me'ikara. Because dichui me'ikara is asking you to buy something which is very implausible, which is that it's possible for something to be given enough of a status such that it's recognized in the world of, let's say, karbanot, and simultaneously recognized as invalid at the same time. Meaning, and therefore, as it becomes a karban, it becomes an invalid karban. Right? That is a big chiddush, because you might say, because you might have said, as Judah implies, that if something from the first moment was not valid, we don't call it a karban that's invalid, we call it not a karban. However, nir'e v'nidche, you could say, well, nir'e v'nidche is what? It was a karban, it got a full status of karban, and then something came and invalidated it. If that's the case, well, that could do it, because then it sort of makes sense. It was a karban, and then it was invalidated. To say that something at the moment of its creation as a karban was created as an invalid karban, that's sort of weird. Now, love dafka, because this Gemara is saying that's not true. Right? That's what we're saying. But we're going to see that not everyone's going to agree with this. Gemara is going to say.
The Gemara is going to say, at this point,
that one could believe in the concept of dichui and not believe in dichui meikar. Right? The Gemara at this point assumes that it's possible, which means at this point the Gemara clearly assumes, like Judah, which is that it is more obvious that it is not clear there is a category of dichui. But if there is a category of dichui, it is plausible for someone to buy the idea of nirav v'nidche and not buy the idea of dichui meikara. Hence, the fact that dichui meikara deserves being called out as a second chiddush on top of the existence of a category of dichui. Are we in agreement at this point? That's what Gemara is assuming. You could. I'm saying at this stage in the Gemara, it's clear that it's not, because it's saying we learn from here that there's a thing called dichui, and that it applies to animals, and two, that's even the case if it's dichui meikara. So it's very clear that at this point the Gemara assumes that dichui meikara is an added chiddush on top of the idea of dichui. Ushma mina chiddush 3, yesh dichui bidamim, that dichui applies even to monetary holiness. How do we know? How do we know? Because when Judah and Zevi co-owned the animal, and Judah sanctified only half of it, clearly, how do we view that Kedusha? As monetary Kedusha, because you don't need any fancy lumdus to tell me that half an animal can't be sacrificed. Yes, but the Gemara said that means that the Kedusha that devolved upon the Karban couldn't have been Kedusha Karban. It has to have been Kedusha Damim. That half of its value is Kodesh, because the animal is in Ra'ui L'Karban. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, and nevertheless, we're saying that it becomes invalid. But the Gemara says, but it's not a Karban. What it really is money designated for a Karban. Because the whole cow was never a Karban. And therefore, it can't be a Karban. And therefore, what is it? Money that's Ra'ui for a Karban. And even there, you create dichui. Now, that is a third-level chiddush. Why do you think that's a third-level chiddush?
Because that's removing the koban from the
actual. And therefore what?
And therefore, now we can...
Because you might have thought that what? An invalidating status can take effect in a karban, because, okay, fine. But what? But it's a much bigger chiddush to say that an invalidating status can take effect in money, because you could have said, well, isn't money fungible? Right? Like, by definition, isn't it fungible? If money's fungible, then it might make no sense to say that a status inhered in money.
I mean,
right?
State existing.
Yes, but that's the Gemara is, and the Gemara here is concluding, according to the Shita, that Yesh Dichui B'damon. But the Gemara is saying that clearly that's a bigger chiddush, because you might have thought that there isn't. Why would you have thought not? Because you would have said money is fungible. Totally fungible, and therefore it makes no sense for a status to inhere in money. Yes. The Gemara at this point is assuming that what I just said is not true, at least according to the Shita. But the Gemara is introducing it as a third chiddush, which means it wasn't obvious, which means there was a havamina that the money is fungible to the point where it can create a status. Now, what is the conclusion? Is it that money isn't fungible, or that even though it's fungible, holy money theoretical value can also get a invalidating status? I don't know, right? We have to talk about it. I'm just highlighting what we need to analyze. Slowly, clearly, got to just read the Gemara. Yeah?
Maybe there's like a backup money. Like they cut the money from the cow side, and then they said, okay.
Sure, but the Gemara is saying that, and that's why you could have said a havamina that it isn't. And the Gemara says, well, it is.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? Well, it is. Or at least according to Shita, it is. Okay, so then Gemara says, fine. Amar Ula. Let me give you another case of dichui. So far, what types of dichui have we seen? What is the dichui that we've seen in this whole half amud? What creates the dichui? No, what creates the dichui? What creates it? So the first was a time, right? The second one was the fact that it's only a part animal. So now we got another one, which is becoming an apostate. Apostasizing. Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. So if you remember, we did this when we did the sugya of Zevach Rishayim Toiva. So one of the invalidating things of a karban is someone is a mumar, is an apostate. Rachman al Itzlan Lawale. Never happened. Amar Ulam Rabbi Yochanan, Achal Chelev. If someone ate forbidden fat, felt bad about it, Behifrish Karba, discovered that he sinned, he was a good person. He separated a carbon, And then Vinishtamid. And then he apostatizes. And he accepts upon himself the worship of but I'm trying to think of a good one. A good proper Avodah Zarah of Hades. Okay, let's go proper, right? The Lord of the Dead, okay? What? Fine. Kronos. Are you happy now? He accepts the worship of Kronos. Got it. Yalla, okay? Fine. Correct. Yes. Yes, my kids have been reading Percy Jackson, so sure. He's decided that the Greek gods are unfair to their demigods, so he decides to worship the grandfather of the demigods. Yalla, got it. Okay. Did I get it right? I've never read it. Did I get it? What? Okay. Whereas my kids read it, they don't read Percy Jackson because they've been reading Hebrew. It's Percy Jackson. I'm like, you know that was in English originally. Like, really? It's like, yes, it was. What? Yes? My Israeli children who have lived here either since birth or close to it and have only ever gone to school basically in Israel.
I have a cousin who was born here.
Yeah. Aaron has read all Harry Potter's in Hebrew and English. So yes, he can do both, but for some reason Percy Jackson they're reading in Hebrew as Percy Jackson.
I heard it is with the Israeli actor.
Yes, it totally changes the word. It changes the story. But they were shocked it was in English. I'm like, really? Because if you were writing one in Hebrew, you would have gone with the name Percy. Really? That's the first one you would have gone with? Anyways, point is, Kronos, okay? Yalla. So now, the karban is now puzzled, because you know, as we have talked about Zerach Hashem Toiva, and the sugya, the parallel sugya in Chulin, if someone is an apostate, he can't bring a karban to God. Because, you know, God doesn't want a Kronos worshiper bringing him a karban. V'chazarbo. And then he did tshuva, because he realized, why am I worshiping Kronos? You know, let's go back to God. But the problem was there was this period where, you know, he had a chatot for his chalev, owned by a Kronos worshiper, admittedly now a reformed Kronos worshiper, who is really a God worshiper. God with a capital G. Now, Kronos isn't even a god. He's the father of the Greek lowercase g gods. He's a titan.
He's better than a god.
No, he's sure. Not. Which only highlights how meaningless the word God was in that whole culture.
Yeah.
What? I don't know, but then he. V'chazarbo, hol v'nidcha yidochev. So since it was invalidated, it is invalidated forever. Meaning the fact that at some point it was owned, it was a karban owned by a Kronos worshiper, by an apostate, it is now invalidated. Even though when he separated, he was a good person, or he was a sinful person who was remorseful and therefore was allowed to bring a karban. And by the end, he's a sinful person who's remorseful, now not only of having eaten forbidden fat, but also having accepted Kronos as his lord. I didn't want to go with that, but, well, I didn't know what to say, because I couldn't say God, because he was a titan. So, Lord and timekeeper. Sure, anyways. So that's case two, right? So far we've seen Zman, we've seen half ownership, and now we've seen carbon owned by apostate. Itmar Nami, similarly, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Achal Chelev, if he ate forbidden fat, Vihifrish. And then he discovered that he did that, felt bad, he separated carbon, Vihifrish carbon, Vinishtate. And then he went crazy. Right? He became halachically. Nishtate is crazy. Shote became insane. Not shote with a tough, with a tet. Not shote as in drunk. Shote with a tet, as he is not halachically a bardan anymore. Right? He does not have mental capacity. V'chazar v'nishtapa, and then he became halachically competent again. Ha'ol v'nidcheh, but now it was a carbon owned by a non-halachically competent human being. Ha'ol v'nidcheh, yidacheh. So the Gemara says, why did you need all of these cases? U'tzrichi. Okay, so now I want you to pay attention to these. Again, I'm on purpose not pausing too much because I want to read, at least see the Gemara once. Gemara says, you need all three. Why? If you only had the first statement, i.e. the apostate, Mishum dehu doche nafshe biyadayim. You might have thought that only in that case is there dichui because he pushed himself actively. Okay, so what is the Gemara saying? That the Gemara is saying that if dichui exists, what is one of the factors that is going to be relevant?
Choice,
action, right? Is that if someone chooses to do something, then I understand that that can not just invalidate it, but create a permanent validation. But in this case, where he became a shote, it was mimela, meaning it happens of its own accord. He didn't choose to do that. You might have thought, it's as if he were asleep. Meaning what? Not a mistake. Right? Meaning, the Gemara is saying you could have thought that the only way to create, again, not just a moment in which something's invalid, but a reality that because it is currently invalid, it will forever be invalid, you need to do something active. Is there a logic to that? A vague logic to that. Again, before we delve too deep, is there a certain vague logic to the idea that if we're looking for not just a temporary invalidation, but a temporary invalidation that creates a permanent invalidation, that it would be worse to choose a path that removes you from the world of karbanot than for that happen to you, not of your own volition? There is a certain logic. Again, we're obviously going to have to dig deeper into it, but there's a certain logic that if what you're looking at is the creation of a permanent validating status, the choice to enter into an invalidating state is more rejectionist and more permanent than entering in there not of your own accord. So the Gemara says, okay. The Gemara says, but on the other hand, v'iyashmin and hacha, but what if you'd only said the opposite? Namely, that the person who lost mental competence became a shoteh, that his carbon becomes nidcheh, but not the apostate. Why might you have thought that such that you need both? So the Gemara says, is there a svara by which something should be less rejected by an apostate than by a shoteh? So the Gemara says, yes, why? Mishum de'ein bi'ada lachzor. Because you might have thought that why does the insanity of the shoteh create a permanent invalidation? Because he can't choose to get out of it. If someone goes insane, and then if he becomes not insane again, I mean, Baruch Hashem, but did he make that choice? Almost definitely not, which means that you might have thought that why is that nidcheh? Because at that point, there was no path back. It could have. There was no. It was, meaning, its permanence was not something we could affect. And therefore, you might have thought that potential permanence creates a permanent invalidation. Meaning, even if it turns out that the guy regains his sanity, because there was no path back at that moment, the carbon was, for all intents and purposes, invalid. We have no idea and no way of ensuring that the guy would return to sanity. However, what about the Cronus worshiper?
No.
He always had the choice, right? You never give up hope on the Cronus worshiper that he'll come back to God, because he could wake up one day and say, why am I worshiping a god that is parodied, or a titan that is parodied as a force? I understand they worshipped 1,000 years ago, but now it is a parody in books and movies. I mean, really? This is what I'm worshiping? Hacha deyesh biyado lachzor, since he always had the power to retract and do tshuva, ema lo tricha. What? Yeah. So now the Gemara says, okay, another gates. Again, I just want to read through all of it once. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, achal chalev. So what if someone ate forbidden fat? V'hifrish karban, separated karban. V'horu beitin shchalev mutar. And then beitin mistakenly paskined that the forbidden fat is permitted. V'chazur behen, and then they change their mind again and say it's forbidden. Mahu. Mi ave dachoy, Allah ave dachoy. Is that called dichoy?
Wait, what? That's like what I
someone ate forbidden fat by accident, became chayav a karban, separated a karban. Then Beit Din ruled that that forbidden fat is kosher. It doesn't matter, but you're going to bring a karban for something that Beit Din just said is permitted? No, but then that's exactly the point. He ate it when it was forbidden, and everyone understood it was forbidden. Then, before he could bring the carbon, Beit Din said, no, what you did was permitted. The fat was always kosher. Right? And then, Beit Din changes their mind again and says, no, you were right the first time, this was forbidden.
So you do have to bring the carbon.
Does the fact that there's a period in the middle where Beit Din had ruled that it's mutter and therefore doesn't warrant a carbon make it dachui? Amar le Usava, so a certain elder said, Kipat Rabbi Yochanan b'dichuyen, when Rabbi Yochanan would start teaching the sugya of dichuy, meha patach. This was the question he would start the sugya with. My taima. And he would say, what's the reason? Hatam, in the case of the apostate or the shota, gavra idche. Now the Gemara draws yet another distinction. The person was pushed aside. Karban lo idche. But the karban had not. Hacha karban nami idche. Here the karban itself was pushed aside. So now what is the next factor the Gemara is introducing?
Korban was a person.
Right? No, so the Gemara is saying, look, the earlier, right, those two, Shota and Mumar, the status of invalidation that was created in the karban was indirect, namely, it became invalid because the carbon of an apostate is invalid. But the invalidation of the carbon happened indirectly through our definition of the person. Right? Now, the status of the person creates a status in the carbon, but it's one step removed. As opposed to here, where by poskening that chelev is permitted, they have said this isn't called a shogeg for which you're chayav a chatat, because you know you're not chayav a chatat for a non-sin. And therefore, the dichui was on the karban itself. And therefore, he says, in the hierarchy of examples, this is the most obvious case of dichui because you directly targeted the definition of the karban.
No.
No. This can't be a chatat if the act wasn't a sin. That is a direct attack on the karban itself. Okay? So, it's up to this stage that we need to get. If you don't remember, the rest of the Gemara, from Amar Rav Shimon ben Azai until the Mishnah, we actually did. We're done, right? So, it's Dichui, and once we finish Dichui, we're going to skip already, because we did the Sugya on that one day that we had when we went to Aroma, remember? And we just needed shit, right? So, we did that also, yes, we're going to skip, and we'll be on Yud Gimel.
Whoa!
We'll be at the Mishnah on Yud Gimel. But, so now, what do we need to do? Let's outline what we need to do. We're not going to do it today. It's not enough time to actually do this. So, we need to define this concept of dichui. So far, all we know firmly is that there is this status, which is disputed. Its existence is disputed, called dichui, right? How do I know that its existence is disputed?
Because
Gemara is here working with Rabbi Yochanan, but as we're going to see tomorrow, not everybody agrees to the existence of the status, and that's why we need to, establish that he does. But there's the status called dichui. And again, what dichui means in the Gemara is that because of a temporary invalidation, a permanent invalidation is created in the karban. And we've seen several different formulations of it. Some that have to do with time, some that have to do with the status of the car, of the owner of the karban, and some that have to do with the definition of the karban itself. So far, all we know is the Gemara thinks there's a hierarchy, that the most obvious of all dichois is the case where the karban is itself undermined. That is more obvious than the person. We also know that the Gemara thinks that there's two, that you have to relate potentially differently to what's called dicho meikara and nirvinita, to something that was originally roi and then became not roi, which the Gemara thinks is more obviously going to create an invalidation than something that was never valid. And the Gemara also thinks that it's more obvious to have a status of dichoi in a karban than in damim, right? In kedusha aguf than in kedusha damim. Okay, what we need to do tomorrow is figure out, okay, why would you say, what exactly, let's further define dichoi. Why would you not believe in dichoi at all? Right? What is the argument about the existence of dichoi? Question one. Question two is, why would you seem, the Gemara seems to think that even if you think there is such a thing as dichoi, maybe animals don't have dichoi. Right? Because Gemara takes it as a bigger chiddush, that even if there's such a thing as dichoi, why, that is a chiddush to say that bali chayim nidachin, that animals are subject to dichoi. Why is that true? And then figure out all these different distinctions. Is it because they all agree what dichoi is, and this is a question of degree? Right? One second, right? Meaning, is it that everyone agrees what dichoi is fundamentally, and it's a question of degree? You know, like, I agree in theory there could be a thing called dichoi, but the question is whether the invalidation you're talking about pushes it at strength 8, 9, 10, right? A degree. Or does the difference between those who only hold of Nira v'nidche versus those who hold even of Dechi Meikar, not a difference of scale, but a difference of kind? Right? Is the difference between saying... Right. Meaning, is it that, listen, we all agree in it, and everyone agrees that Nira v'nidche is, you know, 8 invalidating points, and Dechi Meikar is 5, and the only question is whether the cutoff of Dechi is 6, or... Sorry, it's 4 or 6, right? Or is it that, no, the Shito holds Nir v'nidche, conceptualized Dichoi in one way, and the one who says that there's even Dichoi Me'akara conceptualized Dichoi in a completely different way. That we're using the same word, but it means something different. Again, we're going to have to ask the same thing about the difference between attacking the Karban and attacking the Gavra, and the difference between dichoi bedamim and dichoi in the guf. All right, again, in all these cases, is this just a quantitative question of how pushed aside is it, and is that sufficient to invalidate the karban, or is it more fundamental, right? That maybe there's a thing called dichoi, but there's fundamentally different conceptualizations of what that thing is. Now, to that end, we're going to have to look at the parallel sugya in Krito, and in Psachim. I'm trying to minimize how much we do. The last thing I want to note is that sources 1 through 13 are all about dichoi bekarbanot, but obviously what is going to make our life even more difficult than, if it weren't clear to you, the sugya is going to be difficult. I hope it was clear to you the sugya is difficult. But in case it wasn't clear how difficult it was going to be, all of this, so far, is only about karbanot, but guess what? In order to fully understand, we're going to have to figure out, is this idea called dichoi a halacha in karbanot, or other things? Because starting at 14, we're going to see that the Gemara introduces the category of dichoi in the context of mitzvot as well. And then we're going to have to figure out...
What does that even mean?
Yes. And then we're going to have to figure out what does that tell you about the concept of dichoi and what's the connection between the dichoi of karbanot and mitzvot, etc. And that's what we're going to see. And then we'll bring it all together. And this will take us, you know, a few days. I know there are less mikarot here, but because you've been in my share, you took one look at it and you were correctly, you know, you're like, this is not going to be easy. You're right. I cut it down to these mikarot because I, really honest, that it's a very, very confusing sugya. I cut it down as much as I could, at least to get the basic concepts. What? Often yes. That's right.